Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water. Now, live from our studio, Pastor Ray Greenlee.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." It's Christmas Eve. I remember I was just a kid. I lived in a poor family in Sharpsville, Pennsylvania. Mom and Dad had done the very best they could do, but there simply wasn't enough money left for Christmas. And so, several weeks before Christmas, Mother and Dad told the three boys in a family council that we were not going to celebrate Christmas that year. We simply didn't have the money. Not to expect gifts. In fact, we were not even going to get a Christmas tree. There would be no lights. We were not going to celebrate that year Christmas at all. I remember feeling so sad and so downcast. Christmas was my favorite time of year. Surely, our family had to celebrate Christmas some way. I even prayed. I said, "Dear Jesus, could we have Christmas this year? How can we miss Christmas?" It was Christmas Eve. A car pulled up out in the country snow in front of our home. And our pastor got out of his car. He was a tall, stately, dignified man by the name of Pastor Carnes. His wife also, elderly with snow-white hair. They came to that small home on that country road with red insel brick. They came and knocked on that door that night. And when we opened the door, they said, "Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!" They said, "We're too old this year to celebrate Christmas, and so we've brought our Christmas to you." They brought a Christmas tree in with all the lights, all the trimming. They brought in these magical little buildings for a village under the Christmas tree, and each home and each office building had a little light in it. They brought their Christmas dinner for our family. That night we had Christmas. There were even gifts for us. I'll never forget that night. It was a night of such joy. Our family was together. We were celebrating Christmas. Christmas is such a painful and hard time for me. I know that sounds strange, but let me explain. All through the years, my heart as a child was caught by Christmas. I lived as a child for Christmas. It was the most wonderful time of the year. I loved the chipmunks singing. Do you remember the Chipmunks, Alvin? Do you remember Jingle Bell Rock? Dreaming of a White Christmas. All the music. And then do you remember sitting in the congregation and listening to Handel's Messiah? Christmas was without a doubt for me the most wonderful time of my life. But there was another part of Christmas. We always, as a family, celebrated Christmas on Christmas Eve. And in fact, even tonight, my brother, my oldest brother, Roger, and his wife, Peggy, his daughter Sharon and husband Alan, the kids Esther and Paul, Jan and I will have our daughters April, her husband Michael, our grandson little Michael Jr., our granddaughter Ashley, we'll have my youngest daughter Heidi, her boyfriend Jeff. We'll have all of our family together at Christmas Eve, and we'll have a wonderful dinner together. My wife is even now finishing up the dinner. Peggy is bringing pies that she's made this afternoon. But Christmas is painful for me, and I need to share that part of it. Let me try to explain. As a child, I would always have such expectations, and I would clear out a whole drawer in the chest of drawers that I shared with my brother. I'd clear out a whole drawer for the gifts that would come on Christmas. And then Christmas Day, when I would get up and I would look at the few gifts I'd received, there would be such an emptiness in my heart, and I would say, is that all Christmas is? Somehow there was an emptiness in my heart. Christmas was all expectation. It was all build-up. It was all the excitement. But it left a bitter taste in my mouth, even as a child. I knew there was something missing. I learned very early that there was no such thing as a Santa Claus. But then I learned another very disturbing fact. I learned that Jesus wasn't born on December 24th, that evening, December 25th. I discovered that Jesus had been born in September, and that Christmas was really a pagan holiday. It was the solstice. It was the time when the fertility god was worshipped in ancient Babylon, even in ancient Egypt. The fertility god was worshipped. Offerings were made to this god to cause this god to mate, so that the sun would come back and we would be able to experience the brightness of the spring, and there would be crops that would be planted, and we would have a plentiful amount of food. December 25th was the solstice. It wasn't anything to do with Jesus Christ. And then I discovered that Christians had tried to escape persecution, and by doing this, they brought together the precious birth of Jesus Christ and overlaid the pagan heart called Christmas, and Christmas is Christ. Mass, not meaning the Catholic Mass, not meaning the Eucharistic celebration, not meaning the celebration of the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus, but rather Mass means the cakes. These cakes were the ones that the children of Israel had baked and poured out as a sacrifice for this god of fertility, the Baal gods. And my heart broke. Now, as I was discovering all of this, my wife and I were living in Moreno Valley, California. And it was Christmas, and it was Christmas Eve. And we had no money. We barely had food. We were several months behind in house payment. The electric was about to be turned off. But it was Christmas Eve, and so we bravely set up our Christmas tree. And we laughingly said to each other, "Well, when the times get tough, the tough get going. Let's do a Christmas tree." And we said, "Tough times never last, but tough people do. Let's put up a Christmas tree." And so we put up a little tiny artificial Christmas tree. And then in the midst of that, Jan got the flu. I'll never forget sitting beside that Christmas tree, watching the lights, away from our family. And we sat that Christmas Eve, crying, hoping. We didn't have one gift to share. We were totally alone. We knew no one. And that night, I pleaded with God, and I said, "Oh God, would you work your Christmas magic tonight?" And it was as though the presence of God withdrew from us, and we were left utterly alone in the darkest hour. That night, the magic of Christmas broke for me. I have not celebrated another Christmas. Tonight, we'll have our family together, but we will not celebrate Christmas. We will share in family love and caring. There may be even a few simple gifts for family members, but the magic of Christmas is gone. I no longer look forward to Christmas. I'm no longer eager for Christmas. I know that Christmas is a pagan holiday with a Christian overlay, and it symbolizes so much that breaks my heart with the body of Christ today. Almost everything you see in the body of Christ today in the Christian church is paganism overlaid with this sentimental falseness. I am so hungry for Jesus tonight. I'm hungry to worship Jesus. Not the baby in a manger, because Jesus tonight is not a baby in a manger. He stands at the right hand of the throne of God. He has a sword strapped on. He is coming in judgment for His people. We have created of Jesus and this whole manger scene a sentimental attachment to paganism, to the spending of money, to the emotionalism. We have made Jesus a humanistic symbol of peace. I want to shock you with a passage of Scripture this afternoon in Matthew, the 10th chapter. I'll begin reading with verse 34. Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is the Jesus that we idolize as He lays in the manger. This is the Jesus we romanticize as we sing "Dreaming of a White Christmas." This is the Jesus that we worship paganism in the name of. Let me read this. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You see, back here in Luke, it says the angels sing. In verse 12 of Luke 2, it says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly a company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" I want you to notice it does not say peace to men. It says peace to men on whom His favor rests. This pagan Christmas that we have so idolized, we have committed idolatry with, it is not about peace. Jesus said, "I have come to bring a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And I would add, anyone who loves his Christmas more than me is not worthy of me. That's what Jesus is saying. In verse 38, Matthew 10, verse 38, "Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." You see, this whole humanistic emphasis on let's bring the very best out of the human heart and let's love each other. And so somehow, in the desperation of that situation, we love each other. It leaves an empty hole in our hearts. It's a cheap kind of love. It's not the kind of love that changes the world. The love of the human heart is not enough. Marriages are not held together by the love of the human heart. Mother and daughter are not held together by the love of the human heart. Father and son, father and daughter are not held together by the love of the human heart. Tragedies can come that split families apart. Bitterness comes that separates brother from brother and sister from father. There's only one thing that keeps a husband and wife together, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed at the cross. There's only one thing that can keep a brother knit together with his brother, and that's the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to bring peace on the earth. He came to bring fire. He came to bring a sword of separation. Luke 14, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." You can sing all of the wonderful music of Christmas. You can give all the gifts of Christmas. You can do all the exciting stuff of shopping and cooking and having family get-togethers. And those family get-togethers will erupt in bitterness and anger and selfishness and hardness of heart. The hugs will turn into pushes away from one another if it's done simply out of what is in the human heart, because the human heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is only the blessed gift of Jesus Christ, who comes and stands between us, that lets us come together in fellowship one with another. And Jesus is saying, look, understand who you are. Understand what it costs to be a Christian. Christianity is not what we've pictured it in America. A poll done by Gallup indicates that over 80% of all who live in America believe that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. That's simply not true. It's a lie. Many tonight who call themselves Christians are just simply pagans. They have overlaid their paganism with this false, sentimental thing called Christmas, called Christianity. Most who call themselves Christians, who claim the name of Jesus and who say they're saved, are pagan through and through. There is no heartbrokenness. There is no separation unto Christ. There is no holiness of life. There is simply the tinsel. And Christmas is the best illustration we have to say, look at all of the colored lights. Look at the circus. Look at what we have done. Look at what we have created. Look at the human love that is poured out. And it's not enough. It's empty. Because it doesn't have the cross of Jesus Christ. Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Jesus is saying, suppose one of you wants to be a Christian. Suppose one of you decides you want to be a follower of mine. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Many of you who are listening to this broadcast have laid a foundation of Christianity. You sing the songs of the Christian life. You sing the Handel's Messiah. You claim that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You have laid the foundation, but have you counted the cost? And at the time when Jesus comes, will you be ridiculed because you didn't finish building the building? You instead chose that overlay over the pagan life, and you've pursued your paganism, your humanism. And you have thought you could escape the fire of hell by simply saying you accept Jesus as your Savior. It's not enough to simply say, I've been born again. There is a life of holiness to live. There is a walk. Listen to Jesus in Luke 14, verse 31. Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciples. Do you hear that? Have you given up everything to Jesus Christ? Or are you still walking in the illusion that you can win the battle and have the world? What will it gain you if you win the whole world and yet lose your own soul? I beg of you tonight, on this eve when everything seems to be so sentimental, to consider whether your soul is sold out to Jesus Christ, or whether you are still entangled with the sins that have so easily beset you, and you're following after the paganism of the world. Paul said in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord,
for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I repent before You for my participation in Christmas. Forgive me, Jesus, for walking into this pagan holiday and thinking that I could also walk with You. Jesus, my heart is so hungry for You tonight. I desire You, Jesus, above all things. And the emptiness in my heart, O Jesus, can only be filled by Your shed blood. I plead today, Jesus, for this great city, for the gospel to be proclaimed. Come, Lord Jesus, in the hearts of men and women now.
I pray that the message today has convicted your heart. If you need to talk with someone, call 703-490-8723. Someone is waiting to pray with you right now. That number again, 703-490-8723. You can write to me, Pastor Ray Greenlee, the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. Come worship with the National Prayer Chapel Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For directions, call 703-490-8723. Now seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near.